Again, this is Safety Wars. Sorry about that, folks. For Wednesday, July 24th, 2024. We got a program here for you tonight. What are we talking about? I'm going to tell you what we're talking about. We're talking about that still, the assassination attempt against President Trump. Because a lot of stuff happened here since Monday, since we were on the air here on Safety FM on Monday. So, we have some new stuff here. Right. And how's this sound?
From the front lines of Safety Wars, with your host, Jim.
Let's try that again.
From the front lines of the Safety War, it's Safety Wars, with your host, Jim Posel on Safety FM. Get ready to face the harsh reality.
Get ready to face that harsh reality, right? I think we gotta raise the volume on that one next time. But anyway, that's what we're here about, is harsh reality. No, I'd much rather deal with harsh reality than I would with people going out there and sugarcoating everything. We got to deal with harsh reality. I mean, the best, and you need perspective on this, the best friends that I have had have been the ones who have gone out there and said, Jim, you're doing something fouled up. Jim, I disagree with you on this. You're doing something wrong. Or you can improve on this. Those are the best teachers. Those are the best coaches. Those are the best everything out there. Because they actually care about you. They give a shit about you. They care about they're invested in your success. That's why it's critical that you go out there. Right? It's critical that you go out there and listen to them all the time. Now, some people are out there that we heard a constructive, criticism. That's a term from the 70s and from the, I'm here to give you constructive criticism. And then they commence in taking you down a notch, right? Because the thing was, well, we got to take you down a notch. Then we have to build you back up. But it's usually to take you down a notch to show you how it's in charge. So you got to know how to discern this here. What's the difference? There are people here the other day. One of my colleagues said, hey, Jim, you could be doing this better. I was like, you know what? You're probably right on that. I'm going to take that to heart, and I'm going to fix that. There. That's what we need to do. Now, no, it's when they try to knock you down and put you in your place. They want to show who's in charge. So those are the people you really need to watch out for there. Now, everyone's talking about this. So we had started congressional hearings this week and everything else on the attempted assassination of the former President Trump. And what I'm having problems here is with this. 10 years ago, again, let's remember, I was involved in presidential politics for about 11 years of my life. I've been following presidential politics since about 1979, right, when I was a little tyke in, I believe it was fourth grade. One of the teachers brought in, and it was, mind-blowing in the 1970s. Right, for 1980, this was 1981, where a teacher brought in a television from home, and he had one of the janitors set up before we had audio visual people, and one of the janitors sets up everything, and then we were able to watch. This was in 81 for the presidential inauguration. Everybody went in there, and I actually got to see President Reagan's speech live. Before that, 1979, my parents were both news junkies growing up, listening to that WOR 710 out of New York, AM 710, and which I still listen to on occasion, but we're out there now. I'm more of a 90-70 The Answer guy, the morning host Joe Piscopo. But anyway, Jersey Joe, yes, that Joe Piscopo. So I've been involved with this. I listen to them. And even today, I still get requests for a political nature. A couple weeks ago, Jim, you got to do a political show. you have some perspective here. You've been involved in so long. You could probably talk, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I could. But everybody wants to be the next Rush Limbaugh out there. There's a million of them. So everyone wants to be, the next NPR out there. Everybody wants to be the next political stuff. Very nasty. Almost as nasty as the safety business gets sometimes, believe it or not. Well, I'm not interested with that, especially with the way things are today with, one guy was running in Central Jersey, ran a very successful consulting business in the pharmaceutical industry. Some of you folks out there, listeners, know who I'm talking about. And no, Central New Jersey was all about a lot of pharmaceuticals. So what happened was this guy went in and he said, I don't like what my congressperson is doing. And so he said, I'm going to run a primary campaign against him, let everybody know, because guess what? If you're, especially them days, right, 20-some years ago, the only way you could get information out there is if you ran a campaign, is if you were involved in a campaign and you went out there. So what ended up happening was he went out, did the campaign, started to do the campaign. He filed his paperwork, set up a website, started taking donations. And what do you think happened on Monday? All of his pharmaceutical clients dropped him like a rock because they were in league with the congressperson getting funding and everything else. And what ended up happening was he almost lost everything because of the, right? And this was just a political campaign. Almost lost everything. The minute that he dropped out of the election, because he got no primary came, so you file for your paperwork sometime in January, you go and visit the county conventions, make your speeches and everything else. And what ended up happening was the minute that he lost the primary, he had to file his final paperwork because that's what you got to do because it's Federal Election Commission. You file that paperwork, and guess what happened? Got all of his business back. Way it is. That's the way politics works. That's what happens. I know when I ran for office, people at an oil terminal facility in Central New Jersey, right? And the only reason why I know that is that somebody who I knew very well at the time, he sent me copies of the emails he was receiving from the facility. And the person who was, there was two people who I dealt with every day, bad-mouthing me. Right? Very nice up front, but backstabbing you when you were involved in politics. And, now I knew who my friends were, and who my enemies were. And by the way, they were using company resources against me, which was at the time illegal. Now, a couple of things. Now, let's talk about this whole Secret Service thing with Cheadle. You're going to be surprised. 25 years ago, 30 years ago, I would have been like everybody else. Fire her, get rid of her, get blah, blah, blah. Guess what? Since now we talk about human organizational performance, we talk about investigations, we talk about everything else, I don't think that that's always the right thing to do for a whole host of reasons, whether we're dealing with the head of the Secret Service or other federal agency, or if it's, hold on, I'm sure we got people texting me, right? Or if it's in your organization, whether you're running an engineering firm, construction firm, manufacturing, doesn't matter, environmental consultant, doesn't matter. I've been in a couple of times I was involved in stuff where it looked really bad, right? It looked really, really horrible for everybody. And it, and then it turns out we do the investigation, and guess what? It ain't what it seems, folks. So the fact that she quit, I'm addressing the camera here, Director Cheadle, I guess her name is, the fact that she quit, did it ever occur to you that we're at the beginning of the investigation, she may not be the one, quote-unquote, at fault? And let's remember, blame fixes nothing. Right, I think she was lawyered up, she was compelled, she was guilted, and she resigned, and she didn't really want to face the music. I get that. But let's remember, blame fixes nothing. What do we gain and what do we learn by blaming her? She may have had, her directions might have been X, Y, and Z. She might have had something going on here where they're trying to improve things. There could have been a million and one things going on. She might not have been the problem. Remember, she was not in the field. I heard another commentator today say that this probably wasn't her issue per se. Yeah, you hear the thing, the old saying from New Jersey, right? The fish rots from the head, blah, blah, blah. Okay, yeah, that's cute. And everything. Oh, yeah, that's cute, but not really helpful here. Maybe, perhaps, you could put her on leave. Say, you know what? Take a couple of weeks off. We're going to have to go. We're going to have to figure this out right here. And before we start destroying people. Here, let's figure out what happened. Maybe there was a I don't like to push conspiracy theories. Maybe there was a conspiracy here. Because right now it's looking with some of the facts that are coming out in the news. Mainstream news, that there might be some kind of conspiracy here. Remember, we had FBI agents that were fired because they were election tampering in the 2020 election. Pardon me. 2016 election, I think it was. They were fired. Remember, we had, during the Tea Party movement of the early 2010s, we had federal agents from the IRS that were interfering with people's 501c3 status. Well, we're not going to approve that. They were caught and they were managed. Right? Again, that happened. That's all on the record. That happened. So maybe getting her out of there, not, the other thing is this, right? Blame fixes nothing. Well, okay, you blame her. So what? What do you do? What are you learning? We're going to talk about that in a minute. It looks good for the politicians. Oh, look, we got rid of somebody. Okay. Did you solve what the problem was? You got rid of somebody. I don't think she was necessarily the problem. Might have been. I don't know. We'll figure it out. We had, this is the Secret Service, a federal agency in charge of a whole lot of stuff, right, including banking issues like, what's the word I'm looking at, counterfeiting, right? They do some other stuff, right? They are in charge of whatever, my understanding, last I heard, when I spoke to the Secret Service, when I was in Campaign Plus, we'll just say, we think about the girl next door, right? The old saying, the girl next door, right? Blah, blah, blah. And, we have one thing in our mind in tradition. Well, the girl next door in my neighborhood, I'm not allowed to say what she does for a living, but she works in, for the government, very, very high level security. That's all I'm really allowed to say, right? She said, and I spoke to her. Last time I saw her, the Secret Service handles anytime there's a head of state that comes in, then Secret Service handles it. She handles something else, very high security. And so they do a lot of stuff here. What's my point? My point is here, right? Firing may not be the thing. Resigning might not be the thing. That may not be the thing. This is an important organization. Let's not treat it like a mom and pop operation where we have a bad apple and we got to get rid of that bad apple. I don't know if she was a bad apple or not. I don't know. Maybe there was somebody else. Let's figure out what's going on before we destroy people here. Now, this actually happened where a company that I was dealing with, there was an incident, and they fired a person over it, almost on the spot. They didn't even finish the investigation. 3 weeks later, I'm going through paperwork. Turns out there was a conspiracy. Everybody who was part of that investigation outright lied, and we had written proof that they lied. Oh, yeah, they lied big time. Around six people involved, six quote-unquote witnesses to the situation. Every one of them lied. Every one of them told the same lie. We've had third-party verification in writing that I accidentally found that proves that they were lying. Told the people, hey, you fired that guy, likely illegally, because all these other people are lying to you. You know what they said to me? Drop it, Jim. That's what they, I don't like talking about. That's what they didn't lie, blah, 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 blah. Okay, great. What do you think happened later on? What happened later on was the people who lied were stealing from the company. Multi-millions of dollars in tools, equipment, fake invoices, you name it. They were stealing, right? And what happened was the person who they got fired over this incident, that person found out about it. So they wanted to get rid of him so they could continue on with their things. Had the organization said, you know what? There's something smells here. It smells like, we smell Gouverneau here. Had the organization said that, and do a little bit of checking around and talking and things of that nature, guess what? This would have been a totally different thing. That person would have been a hero, not fired. So, again, be careful who you fire. What the reasoning is, right? Shouldn't be the first thing. Let's find out what the hell happened. Now, this is the other thing. She was fired. Right, the head of the Secret Service was fired or resigned, right? And how do we know that her replacement here is going to be how do we know that her replacement is going to be better than her? Right, her name is Kimberly Cheadle, and who's the current person? Ronald L. Rowe. I'm not going to I know nothing about this gentleman. I'm sure he'll be a fine director of the Secret Service here. And know nothing about the guy. But you gotta be careful of this in your organizations here. How do you know who you're going to replace the person if you fire them? Maybe, especially if you don't finish the investigation. Don't know. Well, how's this going to impede the investigation with her? Now, here's the other issue. There is one thing that really annoys me about this whole thing. And it's along the lines of what we talk about here with, pardon me. Gonna put the cough button on. What really bothers me here is this. When you're involved in thing, and one of the worst things happen, I believe that's the name of Todd Conklin's book here on this network, and also the Jody Fisher, friend of the program, the PR podcast, back in April we were on his show, and any other book out there, guide or anything else. When the Gouverneau hits the fan, all right, when the Gouverneau hits the fan, you got to be ready. You got to have a script. I write scripts all the time. All the time. And then before long, they're committed to memory, and you're able to, you know, and you're able to do whatever. What do we do? You know, now we're able to face things head on, but you gotta do this. This is who I am. This is what we know. This is what we don't know, and this is what we're gonna do to fix it. Those are the things. Real simple. You cannot deviate from that. I saw some video out there of her, Kimberly Schiedel, talking out there. Now, informally, not really, you know, that's really the only thing I could say, not really not the best thing to do. Because look at this. We had today a Netanyahu come to the country. What's the impression? Are the Secret Service, they're a bunch of idiots here? They're not a bunch of idiots, but this is the impression people have. People are watching. People are viewing this. Watch what she's doing. You know, this, no, it's confidence, right? Do we have confidence in our system here? Going on. Now, based on what I know, I'm not immune. I'm trying to shut off the TV, to be honest with you. Really shut off the TV. Because right now, there's really nothing to report here when it comes to anything. Okay, this is what it is. All right, I'll sum it up with you. President Trump was assassinated. Well, there was an attempted assassination. Thank God he wasn't killed. But let's remember, two other people were hurt and one other person was killed. Right? And I'm sure in the confusion, people got stepped on, trampled on, and everything else. All right, so we're having an investigation, and people, right, and now they're enhancing security issue things. Okay, great. We had a cyber outage on Friday. I got the blue screen of death on my Microsoft computer. Right? Had to clear that up and everything else. And plus, on top of that, when everybody went, I was around an airport. Everybody went on to their mobile hotspots and started using their phone because of the flights. We had no internet access. No, internet access was good for nothing. So, that's the other thing that happened. Third thing, President Biden dropped out of the race for president. Right? Number four, Vice President Kamala Harris is now the presumptive nominee. Now, Jay Allen on Monday went into an in-depth thing on there on the Radio R Safety Show. I'm not going to go into but he went into, all right, great. And my opinion on that is real simple. If I was a Democratic primary voter, I'd be a little bit annoyed because I'm hearing people screaming and yelling about the Electoral College every 4 years. We should do away with the Electoral College. And here we have, because it's not us voting for president, it's a delegate voting for president. I've been a delegate, nominated for a delegate many times, about three or four times. All right. Electors, right? I've been a delegate a couple of times, a couple of local conventions. All right. So they're screaming to yell about the Electoral College. Right, we don't have to go by the popular vote necessarily, depending on where you are. That's something else. But now we're okay with the delegates choosing who our nominee is after everybody voted. Can you see where some people might be a little bit annoyed over that? From now until Election Day, this is the only shit we're going to hear. Every day, the talking heads. So you know what I've done? I've taken the remote control, and I've put off with the TV. I'm watching Star Trek reruns. What I'm doing. We're going to hear this every day. We have a lot of other serious issues going on out there to discuss. Right? And we will be discussing them because we're the alternative news service. So we're going to talk about that in a minute. Let's get back to here. We have to go, right? And the other thing that might have failed here, right, was that communication. The other thing is incident command system. Usually that incident command system in my 40-hour class is up until January of this year. Now, you know, that's a throwaway. 30 minutes to talk about incident command, blah, 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 blah. Because of the Uvalde school incident, where all those children were killed, and the state issued a report, state of Texas issued a report that mentioned and extensively incident command failed because of that. And now this situation, because right now the incident command system failed is what I'm looking at here. I'm not interested in who failed. Irrelevant. Who failed? It obviously failed because nobody was communicating with each other. And we know, based on people I've spoken to involved in security for presidential politics, the incident command system is like a real big freaking thing for these folks, right, for coordination and everything else. That seems to have failed, and that's where it needs, so one focus needs to be, is that incident command system. Now, as you said, I'm not interested in who failed, what failed. So, Todd Conklin, right, on the Safety FM network, and Sydney Decker on the Safety FM network. Both have podcasts here. Great people. You should look it up, right? Sydney Decker, Practice Alerting Teams. Todd Conklin, Pre-Acts Investigation. Both say the same thing. We cannot look at, and I'm not saying this, paraphrasing it, but both of them say that. We cannot be interested in who failed. Who failed, so what? It failed, right? We have to be concerned with what failed. And Todd goes on to say this, questions that cause thought, right, is what we need, and thought is what drives learning, right? We need to learn and understand what happened and move forward and restore organizations. Think about that. Don't say who failed, what failed. When you said again who, well, she failed. Real bad situation here, folks. So that's my two cents. We're going to go to commercial break, and we'll be coming back at you in a minute here. Oh, it's Wednesday, so we have Hop Message number 3. This is Safety Wars, broadcasting to our brothers and sisters in the occupied territory of behavior-based safety. Get out your secret decoder ring. Here is your nightly message.
Learning is vital. Learning is vital.
Right? Learning is vital. That's what we're doing. That's the Mrs. Puzzle there with that. And we're going to talk. I'm going to play my this now. Hold on.
Want to avoid hefty OSHA fines and keep your team safe? Let's dive into the General Duty Clause. The General Duty Clause, Section 5A1 of the OSHA Act of 1970, is a catch-all rule to cover unregulated hazards. Employers must keep workplaces free from recognized dangers that could cause death or serious harm. For OSHA to cite you under the General Duty Clause, they must prove the following four things. 1. The employer failed to render its workplace free of a hazard. 2. An employee was exposed to that hazard. 3. That hazard was causing or likely to cause death or serious physical harm. And 4. Feasible means exist to free the workplace of the hazard. Employees aren't off the hook either. Section 5B mandates they follow all safety standards. Both employers and employees must work together to maintain a safe work environment. Examples: think lifting above shoulder height repeatedly, or working without proper support. Stay proactive. Monitor work areas, apply the four-part test, and you'll prevent those nasty citations and keep everyone safe. Need help? And more information? Contact Jim Pozel and the Safety Wars team to help you prevent workplace incidents, conduct safety audits and training. Contact the Safety Wars team at jim@safetywars.com or 845-269-5772. Visit us on the web at www.safetywars.com. Let's build a safer workplace together. Hey there, safety professionals. Welcome to another episode of Safety Wars on Safety FM. Hosted by Jim Posel, and today we're diving into what it really means to be on the front lines of the safety war. So, let's start with the basics. Safety is not just a set of rules or regulations. It's a culture, a mindset, a way of life. When we talk about safety, we're not just protecting workers from harm. We're building an environment where everyone can thrive. It's about going home safe and sound to our families every single day. Now, I know it sounds like a heavy responsibility, but that's why we're here. To make sure everyone understands the importance of safety and knows how to implement it effectively. Whether you're a seasoned safety professional or just starting out, there's always something new to learn. Let's talk about some key strategies. First up, communication. It's critical to ensure that everyone on the team is on the same page. Regular safety meetings, clear signage, and open dialogue can prevent a lot of accidents before they even happen. Next, let's focus on training. Proper training equips your team with the knowledge and skills they need to stay safe. Remember, it's not just about ticking a box. It's about making sure every worker understands the why behind each safety protocol. This understanding fosters a culture of safety where everyone looks out for one another. Of course, we can't forget about technology. From wearable safety devices to advanced monitoring systems, technology is revolutionizing how we approach safety. Embrace it. Use these tools to enhance your safety programs and keep your team protected. But let's not get too comfortable. Safety is an ongoing battle. New risks and challenges emerge all the time. Stay vigilant, stay informed, and never stop striving for a safer workplace. So, what's the takeaway? Safety is everyone's responsibility. It's about creating a culture where safety is ingrained in everything we do. As safety professionals, it's our job to lead by example and inspire our teams to commit to a safer future. Thanks for tuning into Safety Wars on Safety FM. Stay safe out there, and remember, every day is a new opportunity to make a difference. Catch you on the next episode.
Okay, so that's some of the new stuff we've been working on here. And I'm not going to give up on my daughter here. Social recordables, catastrophic losses, environmental disasters. You want answers? So do I. This is Jim Pozel with Safety Wars.
That's my daddy!
OSHA news releases from today. What do we got here? So this was from the 18th. U.S. Department of Labor finds a company... A coatings maker failed to properly protect the employee from a flash fire incident in Lisbon, Wisconsin. For whatever reason, Lisbon, Wisconsin, Wisconsin in general, everybody, very active with the press releases from their area OSHA. The operators of global ink and coatings manufacturer company could have prevented an employee at its Lisbon facility from suffering burn injuries from a flash fire that erupted in an industrial mixing vessel containing flammable liquids and vapors following federal regulations for handling hazardous chemicals. Now, I had a family member, and an investigation by OSHA at the company determined flash fire sparked the mixing employee as the employee manually added combustible powder ingredients. The confessors and inspectors found the flames exited the vessel's charging port and caused the employee to sustain first and second degree burns. Thank God with that. They cited them for multiple violations. Let's go into it. Now, I have a little bit of knowledge here on this. I had a family member who worked for a company that if you lived and worked and were any kind of painter in central New Jersey, you've heard of them. And what ended up happening was, back in the day, right, 1910 146 confined space entry standard was issued in 1993, I believe it was. And what did they have? You know, it was very common, right? Very common for companies of this sort. And it was the industry standard, we might as well just say, to send workers into inside of tanks and mixing vessels for paints and clean them. They use all different types of chemicals to clean. Toluene, also known as toluol, methyl ethyl ketone, is another one. Other different types of cleaners and solvents to clean things out. And a couple of these companies back in the day, they would deliberately hire people who, now this may sound shocking, but stuff like this still happens. They hired people with who had drug problems. Remember, 70s and 80s. It's because one of the selling points was you could go to work and get high. Well, it was. That was how they were great. No, hey, we got you get a lot for free. You get high all day at work with the inhalants. And then they don't tell them after a couple of weeks that doesn't happen because you get used to it and you build up a resistance. You don't even smell anything anymore. But anyway, and this is why, my friends, we have 50,000 people allegedly dying per year, according to OSHA, because of occupational illnesses. All right, so here we have a citation on item one, type of violation serious. It's 1910.28B6I. Dangerous equipment. The employer must ensure that each employee less than 4 feet above the dangerous equipment is protected from falling. So what this is essentially you need to, for this is walking working surfaces, and this was done the day after Christmas. And in the immortal words of Larry Bird, Merry Leaving Christmas. All right. The employer did not ensure that each employee working on the blending vessel mezzanine was protected from falling to a mixing vessel. And while adding materials, and the same day, through January 3rd, the employer did not ensure that each employee performing work on the blending vessel was protected from falling in. Right? Basically the same thing. One was KD3, one was KD4, $12,676. Citation one, item two, 1910.106. Inside construction, I don't know what that is. Inside storage rooms shall be constructed to meet the fire resistant rating for their use. They're in violation of NFPA 21251-1969, which was an incorporation by reference. This was designated a class 1 division 2 storage room. So that is, so if you're ever interested in the all this class 1 division 1 class 1 division 2, go to 1910.106, and I believe that they have a table there for you. $12,676. Company name, we're not doing company names. Citation 1, item 3, again, containers or improper containers with that. $12,676. Citation on item 3B was nothing, where problem with general purpose public warehouse store shall be in accordance with table H14 and H15 and in buildings or portions of such buildings cut off by standard firewalls on or about January 3rd, 2024, the pile slash rack on a certain thing in the Class 1 Division 1 manufacturing area had approximately 4,080 gallons of flammable liquids, which is over the allowed normal amounts listed in Table H14, indoor container storage for unprotected storage. So improper storage, they got zero on that. Citation 1. Item 4A, they got the maximum on here, and let's remember all this is proposed, not final. Again, 1910.106E6I, general, adequate precautions shall be taken to prevent the ignition of flammable vapors. Did not ensure that sources of ignition, right? Include pretty much everything in there, everything that you would normally see. But basically, there was a ignition source injuring the employee. $16,131. Citation 1, item 4B was for nothing. Zero. Protective footwear. Again, what kind of footwear were we wearing? They should have been using static dissipating footwear with an engineered flooring system. So, you can have a static electric buildup. What's static electricity? That is when you have two surfaces, going over growth, right? And you strip electrons, and they reach a certain threshold of stripped electrons, and then they discharge, and that is a static electric discharge. And what ended up happening was, right, how do you prevent this? A lot of ways, right? You try to eliminate static charges, of course. The last thing is PPE, and apparently they were not wearing the proper boots. Now, I used to work with explosives and flammables where we had situations where we had to have conductive footwear. Very uncomfortable to wear after 3 or 4 hours, number one. And they're made to conduct electricity, meaning you're not going to have a static electric buildup, assuming a couple of things. Assuming you have the right kind of socks. You want a certain kind of socks. I believe they're cotton, but don't quote me. You don't want wool or silk. Cotton socks, right? Got to look it up. And your feet have to sweat to make sure you have a good conductivity there. And then you go in, before you go in the room, you have a conductivity check on your feet. And you have a certain number of ohms, right, for resistance. So you're able to go into the area. They didn't have that with that. Also, semiconductor industries and certain electronic industries do the same thing, have the same requirements. Here we have, what do they get? Nothing on there, right? And then citation one, item 5A was 16,131. Information pertaining to hazards of highly hazardous chemicals in the process. This information shall consist of three elements and going on. It's a very extensive list here. But basically, they did not have information on the chemicals. And this is out of the process safety management of highly hazardous materials standard 1910-119. Information on technology, that was zero. And let's go to some of the ones here. Again, a lot of process safety management standard violations here. So you want to go and you want to look at this on the OSHA website. This was a big one. It's like 3 pages long. The employer shall document that equipment complies with recognized and generally accepted good engineering practices. So you need someone to sign off on it. I'm not saying necessarily a registered professional engineer in the state where you reside, but probably someone like that. I believe a certified hazardous materials manager may be able to do that and some other stuff, but I'm not sure on that, but look it up here. No, somebody qualified, 16,100. And no process hazard analysis was done, according to OSHA. 16,131, citation 1, item 7B was 0. Startup safety review documented. And OSHA puts in the note for the next series of violations that they were all grouped together because they involve similar or related hazards that may increase the potential for injuries and illness. No written procedures, 16,131. No training on people, that was zero. Employers have to develop a written plan, zero. And written procedures, the written procedures were not, were lacking, 16,131. Citation on item 10A, personal protective equipment problem. And again, let's see. Employer did not provide and ensure the use of flame-resistant clothing. Wow. FRC, 16,131. So you have to have some type of flame-retardant clothing of some sort. In this case, it would be NFPA 2112 out there. And let me, hold on, I'm going to go to commercial break. Let me get that on camera here and show you what that is. Is your safety training old, stale, and hackneyed? Is your safety trainer still preaching a warped version of behavior-based safety? How about safety training that actually addresses your hazards in your workplaces and is not standardized baloney from 25 years ago? Contact the Safety Wars team at safetywars.com or call Jim Pozel at 845-269-5772. Remember, if you're receiving this message, you are the solution to unsafe workplaces. All right, I'm back. So here's what we have. Right, if you're looking on camera, what I have here is a fire retardant shirt. Yeah, Texas style. We're going to hold down, right, with that. And I'm not endorsing any brands here, but how do you know whether it's fire retardant? Fire retardant can come in short sleeve, by the way. Don't recommend it, but it's available. We're talking long sleeve shirt, right? And it's marked somewhere on here, FRC, fire retardant clothing. Now, let me see. Right here, we have towards the bottom, usually it's towards the bottom of the shirt, you have this. And it's a label. And it says, this garment meets the requirements of NFPA 2112, standard on flame-resistant garments for protection of industrial personnel against flash fire. This is an older shirt, manufactured NFPA 2113, right, and 2112. And, you know, you have certain things, like this shirt has to be tucked in and everything else. And I have a whole bunch of them from the refining industry that I, you know, I wear in the wintertime or in the fall. Now, I can't wear them in the summer. They're hotter than hell most of the time. And I can't really figure out why the oil industry, they know they insist on dark navy blue. Multiple colors, and you can look a little bit stylish. And Abby Ferry, where if you're, you know, you've been around the safety industry long enough, she's been a big advocate of clothes that fit females properly. And it's not all about style. It's, you know, function and comfort and correct sizing and everything else that goes into that. You know, that's what's required there. A shirt like that, and it also comes out with pants and everything else. All right. Here we have another one. Citation item 10B. This is the employer shall, this is from the PPE standard. The employer shall assess the workplace to determine if hazards are present or are likely to be present, which necessitate the use of PPE. And again, here's another one. If you think they're not going to do any of that, here we go. Citation 1, item 11, Sirius 1910-178, which is the powered industrial truck standard, where there was they were using apparently the wrong kind of forklift. So here you go. Only approved power, we're going to read this out here. Only approved power-operated industrial trucks designated as EX may be used in atmospheres containing a whole bunch of chemicals here that are volatiles and flammable, right? Volatiles and ignitable or flammable or explosive in the right situations. So what they were using an EE-rated forklift in the Class 1 Division 1 manufacturing area. Hold on, I forget what EE is. EE rated forklift. Forgive me there. Right? EE rated forklift. Don't see it here. Not easy. Oh, here it is. EE rated forklift means the machine's motors and switches are enclosed to prevent any sparks from reacting to the environment. So that's basically what it comes down to. You need to have an intrinsically safe forklift. Oh, Jim, no, we don't need that. Blah 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 blah. Right? Blah, blah, blah. Right. So they're using an EE. What is an EX? What's the difference here? There's a distinction between EE and EX. EE forklifts only have minimal spark protection and do not comply with electrical safety standards for explosion-proof EX forklifts meet higher standards. So they're using an EE and not an EX, which is EX is intrinsically safe, is my understanding on here. Who would have thought that? Now, usually this is how it goes with forklifts. Where can I get a cheap forklift? Well, that's what they're going to do. They're going to get the cheapest forklift here. So this was not rated here for the item. I learned, not that I learned something new, but, you know, a lot of information out there. Citation item 12, 1910-1200, has come. No training, no information. Apparently SDSs were not there or something like that. No training, $16,131. So what is the total? $183,207. I tell you what, remember, now this is a person with first and second, I don't know all the things, right, all the details. First and second degree burns, what we used to call first and second degree burns. That means that we call them superficial, partial dermal, and total thickness, right, burns, right? That's the third degree burns, where it burns down. You start to get into the, tendons and muscles, and then you have a third degree burn. You have a fourth degree burn, or fifth degree burn, and sixth degree burn, which goes further and further. Usually, those are post-mortem described. Usually, those are the ones that kill you, or you have the horrific injuries. So, again, if this was just a first-degree burn, superficial burn, probably that would have been treated in, with first aid, and it would have gone on the way. Second-degree burn, it must have been a lot of second-degree burns over a huge portion of the body. Guess what? That's going to necessitate a hospital visit. And I would love to know if somebody, you know, at the hospital called, or workers' comp called, or somebody made the report or whatever with that. So something to think about here. And here we have, let's see, anything else here. Let's see if anything was updated here in the last. Right. So tonight, President Biden, if he doesn't already, hasn't already, is going to be giving a speech on this whole situation here. And we're going to talk. Now, every September, we talk about disaster preparation. I think we're going to move up on that. Because this is what we learned. With all this stuff going on here, it's more important now than ever for you and your family to be prepared for disasters. We just went through the whole thing down in Texas with the power outages and everything else. And a whole bunch of other stuff. So it's really important that you prepare you and your family for disasters. And we're going to talk on how to do that a little bit more as we go along into September. But, you know, we're not in control here, folks. Well, Jim, that sounds conspiratorial. No, we're really not in control with any of this stuff. So we have to be in control of ourselves. We cannot control what the politicians.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical. The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.